الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about your chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding my faith that I practice, or the faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic we're going to discuss is death. I know you say, why is the Imam going to talk about death? Because death is part of living. We are born, we live, and then we die. That's reality of life. And so I thought about this after seeing a tsunami a long time ago taking place in Indonesia, and they had the warning sign or the warning alarm did not work, and then they experienced the tsunami and also an earthquake. And I saw online, I don't know if this is true or not, they had this, the ground had melted almost, and the dirt turned to liquid. Not long ago, maybe about a couple of years ago, we had found an apartment for a brother who just was released from jail. And so we got the apartment for him and got him in the apartment on a Sunday. And then by that next Sunday, he died. So we do not know when we're going to die, but for sure we are going to die. Kulli nafsun dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. We don't know where, when, or how we're going to die, but for certainly we are going to die. When I was on Hajj a few years ago, and I was going to Stone of Jamarat, that's the three stations, Shaitan. You had the small one, you had the middle one, and you had the larger one. And I was going to stone them, and then people were saying, Maut, 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 Maut. Like people had died, because people were trampled on. And that happens on high sometimes through the tunnel, people are trampled on, or up there where I was getting ready to go, people were coming down saying, like, the dead, people dead, because people had got trampled on. So those people went on Hajj to make the Hajj to do this pilgrimage to Mecca. And to get through the rituals of the pilgrimage and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they end up not going home. And so all this brought to mind for me about death. And so let's discuss this. Let's be real about this thing so that we can prepare for our demise. If you haven't prepared for it, just know that it's coming. Just we all have to do the best we can to prepare for it. Now, at this point, open up your Quran to chapter 10, verse 104. That's chapter 10, verse 104. And Allah says, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to turn to it, because I don't want to lose you as my students, because you're trying to find, you opening your Quran and you haven't got to that chapter yet. So I'm going to talk a little bit so you get to that chapter. Again, that's chapter 10. Verse 104. Again, chapter 10, verse 104. And Allah says, I'm going to read it in English for saving a little bit of time. And this is just a rough translation of the Arabic, because Quran is in Arabic. We have it, but people translate into English and Spanish and French and all kinds of other languages. But the Quran itself is in Arabic. Now, the rough translation of the Arabic, it says, Allah says, say, O people, doubt my deen, my religion, if you will, but never will I worship those that you worship besides Allah. I worship Allah, who has the power to cause death, and I am commanded to be one of the believers. So I want us to understand the causer of death is Allah. Not anyone else, not anything else. People could say, I'm going to shoot you, blah, 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 all these kind of things. But the one that takes your soul, the one that truly causes death is Allah. I remember hearing a story. I don't know how true it was or is. There was a man that he fell off a tall ladder and he did not die. And so he was so happy about it that he was going to go, I think he was going to get a drink. Udhu billah, Muslims, we don't drink. We're not supposed to drink alcohol. So I think he was going to celebrate his life and that he lived from falling from this high place and on the ladder. And so as he was crossing the street, he was ran over by a car and he died. So him falling off the ladder was not his place and not his time and not the methodology in which he was supposed to die. He was supposed to die at another time at the same in the same area by getting hit by a car. And again, I want to mention something. I hear this a lot. It's kind of very relevant to what I'm talking about. That the angel of death, and this is just a story more so than anything else, that two men were sort of at a music park and shopping or something like that, and they had bags and so or some kind of animal or something in their hand. And so the one man was talking to the other man, and then the first man looked and his face got all white, and then he took off and he ran and he went and took a bus, for example, from Baltimore to New York. And then so the second man, why did he do that? He just took off like that, didn't say anything, dropped his belongings and left. And so he went to the man that he was looking at. He said, my friend, he saw you. He turned white and he dropped everything, and then he took the bus and he went from here, from Baltimore to New York. And so the person he was talking to said, I'm the angel of death. And I was scratching my head looking. I said, wait a minute, why is he here in Baltimore when I'm supposed to take his soul in New York? And so this is just kind of a reminder to us. We may not have to, we not scheduled for us to die in New York, and we may call ourselves running from Baltimore, running from death, going to New York, but New York may be the exact place where we're supposed to receive our death sentence or receive death or for us to die. And so we think we're running from death, but really we run into it. No matter where we go, death will find us. If we're in the fortress or anything like that, that death will find us. If we're only man on the moon, death will find us. When it is our time to die, we are going to die. And that is caused by Allah. So you can't escape it no matter what you do, and no matter how much money you have or how little money you have, death will find you, because we all have a time and a place and methodology in which you're going to die. Also, in the same chapter, chapter 10, verse 56. Again, chapter 10, verse 56. And it says, he is the one who gives life and causes death, and to him you shall all return. So again, Allah is the one that does what? He causes life. He brings us to life. And he is the one that causes death. He takes our soul. And he is the one that we all will return to. We came out of dirt from this clay clot and our motors into human being. We are buried back in dirt upon our death. And then we are raised up on a day of judgment out of dirt. And I want to mention, this is from just a little piece of chapter 15, verse 99. Again, that's chapter 15, verse 99. And it says, and worship your Rav, meaning your Lord, until there comes to you which is certain, which is death. This is certain for each and every one of us. Some of us die in the womb. Some of us die right outside of the womb. And some of us live for a certain amount of time, and then we die, and then we turn back to our Lord. And I know, like myself, many of us have relatives or friends who died. And so, yes, they have. And so they are going back to their Lord. Maybe some of us can't deal with the fact that we lost someone. But all those individuals are going back to their Lord. Allah is calling them back to Him. It's a time and a place and a methodology in which each and every one of us are to die. We have no right to get mad at ourselves or get mad at Allah that Allah took that individual's soul, because we had absolutely nothing that we could do about it. We could pay all the soldiers in the world to guard that individual. Allah want to take that individual's soul, we can take their soul. We can cover our children and hold them tightly to our chests and not let them go, trying to prevent them from getting hurt or harmed or dying. We can't do that. It's impossible to do. When it's time for them to go, Allah is going to take them back to Him. And our children, they're only on loan to us. They don't belong to us. They're only with us for a little bit of time. Allah plant them inside the woman. Then the child is born. And then they're with us for a little amount of time. And then Allah takes them back to Himself. And so they're only with us for a short amount of time. And so let me move on. Understand also, my students, that we cannot lie our way out of death. If we do something wrong, we cannot lie our way out of it. What do I mean by that? In chapter 16, verse 28, again, chapter 16, verse 28, and it says, those whom the angels caused to die while they were still engaged in doing injustice to their own souls, at the time of death, they offer submission, saying, we were not doing anything wrong. The angels will reply, oh, you, how dare you deny? Certainly Allah is aware of what you were doing. So don't think that Allah is not aware of what you're doing and that you say, oh, I wasn't doing anything wrong. No, 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 that wasn't me. That was someone else. No. Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So He certainly know what you are doing. He know the justice you are doing and the injustice that you are doing. The right things you are doing and the wrong things that you're doing, Allah sees all these things. So there's no escaping the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No way. And so we can't lie our way out and say, I wasn't doing anything. No. When it's time for you to go, the angel know what you were doing, because we have an angel on our right shoulder writing down our good deeds, angel on our left shoulder writing down our bad deeds, compiled in the book, if you will, and then it's presented. And all the things that you've done, whatever you saw with your eyes can speak against you. Whatever you say with your mouth or with your tongue can speak against you. Whatever you heard with your ears can speak against you. Whatever you've done with your hands can speak for or against you. All these body parts, for or against you. And also your feet, where did you go? It can speak for or against you. So you're not, there's no way that you're going to be able to escape anything. Your angels are writing down your good and bad deeds, and your body parts, Allah will command them to speak, and they will speak. It's easy for Allah to do. All you got to do is say, be, kun fayakun, be, and it is. He want to create a man, He just said, be, and the man is there. Remember, my students, that Allah created a man without a woman, a mother or a father, and that was Adam. He created a woman without a woman, and that was when He created Eve. And then He created a male without a man, and that was Isa alayhi salam. And so it's easy for Allah to do. He could produce someone without a man or a woman involved, one without a man involved, without a man being involved. And the same thing for Esau. It wasn't any man involved at all. It was just that Allah just said be inside the body of his mother Maryam, and the child was there. Esau was there. Also, I want to mention to you, and it's going to be in chapter 62, verse 8. That's chapter 62, verse 8. And it says, tell them, the death from which you are running away will certainly overtake you. Then you will be sent back to him who knows the unseen and the seen. And he will tell you all that you have done. These are all the things that summarize what I just said in chapter 62, verse 8. Everything that I just said is that you can run from death, but you will not be able to do so because death will overtake you. And that Allah, he can see the seen, and he knows the unseen. And then, of course, we will all go back to Allah. He will tell you all that you have done or what you've been doing. Now, shall we want for death? Rasulullah, he said, Salam, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. He said this about that, about wanting for death. He said, the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, none of you should wish for death because of a calamity befalling him. But if he wishes for death, he should say, O Allah, keep me alive as long as life is better for me, and let me die if death is better for me. So my respected students, please keep this in mind, that if you want for death, then you ask Allah. Allah, keep me alive as long as life is better for me, and let me die when it is better for me to die. But we can't go around, and some people do, saying, woe is me, why am I here? We are here to worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That we were created, we are only created to worship Allah. Us and jinn, and we get into jinn maybe at another time. We were created to worship Allah. This is our reason for living, to worship Allah. And so we can't go around saying, woe is me, why am I in this life? You're here to worship Allah. So you would have no right to take your life. You didn't give it, so how are you going to take it? And so anyone that commits suicide and takes their soul or take their life, then they will continue to do that, be part of their punishment in the hereafter. If a person, for example, if they cut their wrists and sat in warm water like people do, then that will be one of the ways that they will be tortured over and over again. If they jump off a building to take their life and it hit the ground, they'll continue to jump off a building and hit the ground over and over and over again. It will be part of their torture that they will receive because of them committing suicide. So in Islam, committing suicide is forbidden. Now, I want to also mention the death of some of the great ones and what they said, or whether it's their spirit was, or when it was upon their death. And let's go with Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first Khalifa of Islam, the leader after the death of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. Aisha said, wealth is of no value to a man on a day when the death rattle is in his throat and his breast is constricted by it. This is the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first Khalifa of Islam, and one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. Abu Bakr uncovered his faith. This is why he was on his deathbed, if you will. Abu Bakr uncovered his faith and said, it is not so. Say that the agony of death shall come in truth. Thus, O man, is what you sought to avoid. He swooned, and on regaining consciousness, he recited the verse of the Holy Quran. Lord, let me die a true believer, and join me with the blessed ones on high who are virtuous. With those words, of the Holy Quran on his lips, Abu Bakr aspired. From Allah he had come, and to Allah he returned. Now let's look at Umar. This is the second Khalifa of Islam. At the time of the morning prayer, Firas, this was the person that took the life, that stabbed up Umar, which you'll see in a moment. Firas went with his dagger to the Prophet's mosque and hid himself in the corner of one of the recesses of the mosque. When the faithful stood for prayer, after straightening their underlines, and Umar took up his position as the imam to lead the prayer, Firas emerged from his place of hiding and rushed to Umar. Firas struck him 6 consecutive blows with his dagger, and Umar fell to the floor profusely bleeding. And then Umar basically said, regarding himself, because he didn't die immediately, he said, "Be moderate in the expenses of my shroud. For verily, if there is anything of good with Allah in my favor, he will give me in exchange what is better than it. And if I have been otherwise, he will strip me of all that I have. And be moderate in the grave that you dig for me. For verily, if there be anything of good with God or with Allah in my favor, he will widen it for me. And if I have been otherwise, he will make it narrow for me to squeeze my body. And let no woman go with my funeral. Praise me not for that which is not in me. For the Lord knows best what I am. Therefore, when you carry me to the grave, hasten in going for it. If there is anything of good with Allah in my favor, you will speed me to that which is good. And if I have been otherwise, you will cast from your necks an evil that you bear." Thereafter, Umar turned his face to the Qibla and breathed his last. There was like a little smile on his face as he lay dead. So this was the Umar upon his death, what he instructed the people to do: be moderate in the expense of his shroud, and dig his grave moderate, make it moderate, and also to carry him quickly to his grave. This was his instruction to the people. As far as Uthman is concerned, some rebels entered the room of Uthman, but they cannot dare murder the Khalifa. Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr entered the room and held the beard of Uthman. Uthman said that he was like a nephew to him, and he would be false to the memory of his father Abu Bakr if he contemplated any violence against them. That made Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr waver in his resolve, and he walked out of the room. Seeing this, some of the rebels entered the room and struck blows on the head of Uthman. Nala threw herself on the body of Uthman to protect him. She was pushed aside, and further blows were struck on Uthman till he died. For Allah he had come, and to Allah he returned. He died while keeping fast, and turned to his dream. He broke the fast in the company of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that evening, because Rasulullah sallallahu had came to him earlier and said to him basically that, because he started fasting that day, and he told him that you will break fast with me. And well, okay, that's like, oh man, that's a great good thing. I'm like, I'm going to do that. And so he started fasting that day. He died that day, and then he broke fast with the Prophet ﷺ that evening. I want to mention one more, and that is Ali. On a Friday morning of the 17th of the day of a month of Ramadan, 3 conspirators went to the main mosque in Kufa just before the day the break of dawn. Here they took up their positions in the narrow passage leading to the prayer hall. A little later, Ali came to the mosque when it was still dark and there was no one else in the mosque. When Ali stood to pray, one of the people struck him and he missed his mark. Then Abdulrahman struck Ali on the forehead with his poison sword, which penetrated on the brain through a scar, an old scar. Thereafter, the assassins fled from the mosque. So, of course, Ali ended up dying. The Prophet ﷺ, it was narrated by the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if anyone possesses three characteristics, Allah will give him an easy death and bring him into paradise. One is a gentleness towards the weak. Two, affection towards parents. And three, kindness to slaves. So we want to make it, my brothers and sisters, my students, have one of these three characters. Meaning that we are gentle to the weak, we are affectionate towards our parents, and we are kind towards those who are slaves. And I guess in most places they are not slaves nowadays, but at least we can try to do the first two. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, when any of you completes the last shahada, he should seek refuge with Allah from four, i.e. from the torment of hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials of life and death, and for the mischief of the Dajjal. Some people call him the Antichrist. And so we should always try before when we go to bed at night, we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. That we take shahada. May those be the last things on our lips. Or if we're shot or stabbed or anything like that, we want to try our best to make that be the last thing on our lips, which is saying the shahada. We must, as much as possible, prepare ourselves for death because it is coming. We have to work before account is taken against us, and when account is taken against us, you will not be able to work. So, my respected students, please prepare for it. Do all the good that you can do. When we go into the ground, three things go with us go to a gravesite, and two walk away, and one goes into the grave with us. Our wealth, our family, and our deeds go with us to the grave. Our wealth and our family leaves the grave, and our deeds go into the grave with us. So we need to do as many good deeds as possible, because death is for sure, it's going to come. You have been listening to and attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.